There's a lot to unpack in this one. A lot to unpack. After months of buildup, months of anticipation, Raider Nation showed up in droves in Southern California. The offense did not. They lose the turnover differential. They lose the battle up front. They lose their cool in the end. The result, 0-1 to start the season. I'm Vince Sapienza, Clay Baker here in Las Vegas with me. While boots on the ground, still in SoCal, is Vinny Bonsignor and Nation. We want to hear from you. Today's a day to cleanse. It is one of many this season. How are you feeling this morning? What is the reaction? What is your takeaway from week one? Those phones better be lit up this morning, because there can't be a feeling of, there's got to be some extreme reactions one way or another. You're either feeling terrible, you're either feeling hopeful still a day after that week one loss. You're feeling some kind of way. We want to hear you. 702-365-9200. Hit us up on the phone line. Hit us up on the text line. It's time to cleanse. It's time to, the only way to get past week one is to talk about it. This is a circle of trust.
It's in you and it's got to come out.
And again, a lot to unpack. I think I know where Vinny's going to go, but Vinny, good morning. After you had a chance to see it firsthand, get hopefully a good night's sleep in Southern California. I know it's hot over there, still hot over here. But what is the feeling as we're waking up this morning, Vinny?
Well, the feeling is that, first of all, the Chargers were an imminently beatable team yesterday. And, you know, we've talked about this, that for the Raiders to win games this year, there's some non-negotiables that they have to take care of. There's boxes that they have to check off. They've got to be able to run the ball. They've got to be able to stop the run. They have to have efficient play from their quarterbacks. They have to win the turnover battle. They have to do well in the red zone. They have to do well on third downs. And they have to get sound coaching decisions. And none of those things happened on Sunday. So it's no wonder that they laid a massive egg in Los Angeles. And they have to lick their wounds, collect themselves, try to get it figured out before going to Baltimore to play a very tough, probably a very angry Ravens team. And everything that we talked about in terms of not digging themselves a hole, which is what the Raiders have done, you know, the last few years and never been able to dig themselves out of, they're in very real danger of doing exactly that again on Sunday against Baltimore, all because everything that we've talked about the Raiders having to do, they didn't accomplish on Sunday. They're not good enough. They're not deep enough. They're not good enough. They don't have a good enough quarterback to be able to just play loosely in certain areas of the game. They have to be airtight in those areas of the game, and they simply weren't. And that's frustrating for anyone that's heard them talk over and over and over again about what they want to be, who they want to, how they want to play, how they want to go about their business, and to go to Los Angeles and just kind of forget everything that they talked about and do everything that they know they can't do, this year, because when they do, they're going to lose football games, and that's exactly what happened yesterday.
So Monday morning quarterback is a phrase often coined for, as we look back and, you know, critique and do all the decisions over again that were wrong or messed up from Sunday. But we have our new version of Monday morning quarterback here debuting today, Vinny and Clay. It is Monday morning cornerback, and that is where Raiders legend and alum Eric Allen will join us in the 8 o'clock hour to talk about the game that was in week one. Very excited about that. But segueing from Monday morning cornerback into Monday morning quarterback, a lot of takeaways. Let's just jump into the overarching one, and the one that everybody is talking about, and is the decision by Antonio Pierce and his staff to punt on 4th and 1 with under 8 minutes to play, down 6 points to the Chargers in Charger territory on the 43-yard line. So I guess the initial thought is analytics says you go for it. They obviously did not have success early in those situations, whether it was 4th and 1 early in the first quarter or 3rd and short situations throughout the game. The decision to not go for it in that 4th down obviously drew a ton of criticism. And, Vinny, you're saying rightfully so.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the first time since 2016 that an NFL team that was down by one score in the 4th quarter on the plus side of the field facing a fourth down in a similar situation, punt the ball. You just don't punt the ball right there. You know, I get what Antonio Pierce was thinking, and technically they got what they wanted. You know, they pinned the Chargers back at their eight, fully expecting their defense to win the day, get the ball back, and then give themselves another chance, you know, to score the game-winning touchdown. But here's my thing. Number one, they'd been to the red zone one time all game. When the notion that you were definitely going to be back on that side of the football field again, I based on what had happened earlier in the game or up until that point, there was no evidence that you were going to get back to that side of the field. That offered the best opportunity. You're at the other team's 43-yard line. It's 1 yard to go. You want to hang your hat on being a big, confident, physical football team. And basically you said, I don't think that we're going to be able to get this 1 yard, which, you know, expresses a lot of a lack of confidence in your offensive line, in your run game, and your fortitude to get that yard. But everything suggested, everything, all the numbers, all the analytics says you give yourself a chance. Because here's my thing. If you feel like your defense could go make a stop and get the ball back, then you have to also feel like your defense can get the stop if you don't make the first down and get the ball back. It just was not a good decision. One of a couple that I felt like Antonio Pierce, you know, wasn't on top of. And I know he's got a group of thinkers, you know, a brain trust that goes over all of those things. And I kind of felt like, and I sort of brought this up, you know, in the post-game press conference to Antonio, it felt like they were going to go for it initially. And then somehow, some way, whether somebody talked him out of it or he thought better of it, whatever the case, they changed their mind along the way and threw the punt team out there. And I think everybody, fans included, were a little bit disappointed by that decision-making right there.
Now, for those that did not hear Antonio Pierce last night, let's take a listen to the reasoning and the why behind deciding to punt on 4th-and-1 as opposed to going for it. He was asked two separate times. Here's his two answers.
Yeah, just, I mean, field position, you know, defensively, punter. I mean, we got what we wanted. We got him backed up. We got three timeouts there. Play good football, get the ball back, you know, half court, as we call it, offense, midfield, hopefully. But they broke off a long run, and that was the end of it. Yeah, no, we was considered going for it. It was a long one. I mean, got stopped earlier in the game, momentum. Punter had done a good job, you know, pinning those guys back. I think we had three punts inside the 20. Again, you know, defense was the strength for the most part of the game. Keep them backed up with three timeouts.
So that's Raiders head coach Antonio Pierce. And it sounds like, especially in that last answer, what you were talking about, Vinny, when he says we were thinking about going for it, it almost felt like we heard a growing pain as a head coach, like a physical and literal growing pain in terms of him not going with his gut. Because it feels like by punting on 4th-and-1, it was the opposite of everything we've heard from Antonio Pierce in terms of the type of coach he is, wants to be, you know, putting, instilling confidence in his guys to say, hey, go win us the game. Let's go get this. Let's attack. As opposed to being uber conservative and going against analytics. It just felt like the complete opposite of everything we've come to know of Antonio Pierce in terms of that one decision.
Yeah, and, you know, on top of all that, you know, I know the statistics show that the Raiders got gashed, especially on two long runs, and we'll get into that. The run fits, again, continued to be a problem yesterday, but the defense did hang in there for the most part. But there's a breaking point. It was a hot day in Los Angeles. You talked about it, you know, at the top of the show. At some point, your defense is gonna give a little bit, just because, you know, simple fatigue. They'd been out there a long time yesterday, and you know, yes, you feel comfortable that they're going to be able to get the stop, but you also have to think in the back of your mind, you know, we've really let this defense, you know, hang out there to dry a lot. You know, what are the chances that they're going to be able to hold up? And they didn't, obviously. J.K. Dobbins breaks off the long 60-some yard run to help put the game away. So you had to also think along those lines. But with the Raiders, you know, being who they are this year, and, you know, I'm not trying to knock Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell for that matter, but take a look around the league, and you understand what teams, you know, are the teams you're talking about as playoff teams and Super Bowl contenders. They've got great quarterback play, or they've got above-average quarterback play. Look at Dak Prescott with the Cowboys and what they did to the Browns yesterday, and you know, that's a whole other issue in terms of he's not going to be available to the Raiders.
Talk about getting paid.
Man, that's not going to happen.
Exactly.
$60 million man, Dak Prescott.
And what a way to put it, just before the game begins.
Worth every penny, by the way. He gives the Cowboys a chance. You put Dak Prescott on the Raiders, and the Raiders have a chance. But I digress. It's a moot point at this point. Anyone that wants to argue with me is nuts, but whatever.
But Vinny, but people like arguing with you. They find a lot of enjoyment out of that.
They're wrong. compared to what the Raiders have at quarterback now. Come on, it's not even a credible argument. I get trying to go get your quarterback of the future in the draft, but as you also saw, you know, yesterday, that's no guarantee as well, and you're probably going to have, you know, some struggles along the way. But again, it's a moot point. We know that the Raiders are going to be on the hunt for another quarterback at the end of this year. You got to try to make do with what you have. But making do with what you have this year, again, means checking off some non-negotiable boxes, and you just can't not check those boxes off. Maybe one or two here and there, but like every single one of those boxes was not checked off yesterday, other than the defense playing, you know, a pretty darn good game for the most part. But even even at some turns for the defense, you know, there were breakdowns that led to two huge runs that led to scores and that were, you know, ended up being kind of the difference in the game. But certainly offensively, you can't be turning the ball over. You can't play sloppy. We've talked about Gardner Minshew and some of the things that he does to help a team, but then also some of the things that he does to hurt a team. Think about this. Toward the end of that first half, the Raiders are in a two-minute drill. They're on the other side of the field, the plus side of the field. You kick a field goal to go up by two scores, or maybe even you score a touchdown to go up 14-3 and take command of that game. You're getting the ball to start the third quarter, and what happens? Got loose with the football, and it led to a fumble, and all of a sudden Khalil Mack, you know, picks it up and returns it to the 12. They kick a field goal rather than building momentum or extending the lead. Now it's a 7-6 game, and you're kind of walking with your head down to the locker room. You can't do that. You cannot do that on this team. But we saw some of the good from Gardner Minshew, and then certainly some of the bad from Gardner Minshew yesterday. I repeat, those are things that the Raiders cannot afford to do this year. They're not a good enough football team collectively, and especially at quarterback, to shoot themselves in the foot like they did.
Clay, is Khalil Mack ever going to leave the division? Why would he ever not want to play the Raiders twice a year? All he does is cause carnage and wreckage. 1.5 sacks, picks up that fumble, was a absolute terror for Colton Miller basically all afternoon.
Yeah, Colton Miller got pushed back several times, and it's almost like this is his bonus check. Every time he faces the Raiders, he knows he's going to collect the bonuses on sacks, forced fumbles. And you know, and that's the thing. Like, both defensive lines played very, very well, altering the run games for both offenses. But for the Raiders themselves, and going back to that 4th-and-1 at the Chargers 43 and electing to punt, it almost seemed like there was a hesitation. There wasn't enough confidence for the Raiders just to get one single yard.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I guess that's what's frustrating. And we just listened to Antonio Pierce's understanding or his explanation, however you want to take it, in terms of what he was seeing at that time. A.J. Cole's an absolute weapon. I don't think we can disagree. I mean, he's got All-Pro written all over him this season. He's an absolute weapon. He's 3 inside the 20. He's just booming punts left and right. He is a game changer when it comes to the field position game. Okay? No questions about it. The defense, I will take no slander about the Raiders' defense yesterday. They were phenomenal against that quarterback, Justin Herbert, what he was able to do, the turnovers that they had to endure, and the amount of time they were on the field. I was stunned looking at the time of possession. It felt like they were on the field for over 40 minutes. And actually, the Raiders won. They were on the field less than the Chargers defense, which is somehow, I don't quite understand that math. It doesn't make sense because it felt like they were out there the entire time. That being said, Vinny, I think you hit on this, and I think this is why this feels like the anti-Antonio Pierce decision, which is why it's really so baffling, is the fact that you talk about instilling confidence in your team. They needed 1 yard. Like, I understand that it wasn't going well, but if you weren't, everyone keeps saying it was one red zone trip. I wouldn't even call it. They had one offensive play in the red zone. They were at the 19-yard line, and then Gardner Minshew got sacked out of the red zone. So to say they were in the red zone, like, statistically and technically, yes, they were, but they were never there. You have to do something. The laws of probability say at some point you got to be able to get a yard. And how often for weeks did we say Zamir White is automatic at the goal line, short yarded situation, give him the rock? It was not to be had, and that's a credit to that Chargers defensive line. But, man, I am surprised in a very negative way at the Raiders offensive line and what they were able to do in terms of the run game. We talked about it at the start of the week, Vinny. What did these two teams want to do? Same exact thing. Establish an identity. How did they want to do that? Be physical up front and push people around. The Raiders got pushed around all afternoon when it came to the run game, and it proved dividends that it made them hesitant and scared to go for it on 4th-and-1 in Chargers territory when you needed points. It's tough. It's tough to swallow.
Yeah, and we also talked about that run game had to be good to go from day one. It certainly wasn't. And I'm going to go back to, I didn't feel comfortable that it would be. I didn't see enough in training camp from this offensive line to really feel comfortable. Now, granted, Colton Miller wasn't out there for a large period, large chunk of time, and there's probably a little bit of rust, with Colton, and he kind of got his lunch eaten a little bit yesterday by Khalil Mack and some others. Obviously, Jackson Powers Johnson still not out there, so you account for that. But there was nothing I saw in training camp, either in pass protection or run blocking, where I felt comfortable. Like, yeah, for sure, the Raiders are going to be able to hang their hat on that offensive line. I didn't see it, and so I was skeptical of it. And I'm not surprised about how yesterday turned out in terms of the offensive line, because it's for me kind of a continuation of what I saw during going all the way back to OTAs, quite frankly, and certainly during training camp when they got the pads on. There's work that needs to be done in this offensive line. Now you hope that kind of like last year, they learn and develop and grow as the year goes on. But that was something that the Raiders couldn't afford to ease into. They needed the run game from the outset of the season, and because that, again, that's the non-negotiable box. They have to be able to run the ball with given who they have at quarterback right now and how that helps that quarterback. And they just didn't do it, and part of that problem, without question, is the offensive line that lost yesterday. They lost the battle yesterday in terms of physicality against the Chargers' defensive line. And it ain't going to get any easier on Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens. It's even a more physical defensive line that they're going against. So that's something that the Raiders have to get cleaned up in a hurry, or else it's going to be another long afternoon.
We're just scratching the surface here. Plenty more to unpack from the Raiders' Week 1 loss on the road to the Chargers. Coming up, we're going to hear from that quarterback, Gardner Minshew, how he felt things went in his Raiders debut. It's the tailgate.
At the Raiders' 14-yard line, it was scooped up by Khalil Mack as Gardner Minshew tried to pump fake, and as he did link, he threw a lateral that went backwards as a fumble, and the Chargers have the game's first takeaway.
Oh, Raiders Radio Network with the call. Jason Horowitz, Lincoln Kennedy on the Minshew fumble. We're back here on Raider Nation Radio. Vince, Vinny, and Clay here on R&R 920. And just a takeaway from when we were talking about the short yardage situations in Raiders offense, unable to convert. I went back and I looked at every time the Raiders were in second and short or third and short. And overall for the game, they were 4 of 13 in short yardage situations. And each time they couldn't convert in short yardage, what happened? 4 punts, 2 turnovers, a turnover on downs, and a missed field goal, which is almost like a turnover in of itself.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the things, and Vinny used the term non-negotiables, right? And I think that's as valid a phrase as you can ask for when it comes to the Raiders, this team, the roster, the way it's built, who's at quarterback, everything that goes with it. I mean, if you aren't converting short yardage situations, I mean, this is the team whose identity is running the ball. And if you can't trust your offense to get you a yard when you need it, that's a problem. And nobody's – Vinny might have something else to say. There's no panic button hitting yet. I mean, but yesterday was a – that's a tough one to kind of look at, because when you – what did we talk about? If the Raiders were going to be successful, who were we going to talk about today? It was going to be Zamir White. Well, the fact that we're talking about Zamir White in that running game for the opposite reason is because if you really look at it, like, Gardner Minshew's numbers weren't terrible. Obviously, that fumble is catastrophic at the end of a half as you're looking to kind of extend the lead, feel good, because they were moving the ball at that point.
Sure, and you have the ball to begin the third quarter.
And, you know, so that's a catastrophic end right there. And that's why I say there should be no defensive slander, because when you look at that play, the Raiders give up. It's a 7-6 game at half only because of one of that turnover. The Chargers score a field goal on their opening drive of the second half. Daniel Carlson, who was 9 of 10 last year between 40 and 49 yards, misses a 49er. You don't expect that to happen, essentially, based off last year. You don't expect that to happen again all season.
No.
They go down and score a touchdown off that missed field goal. So, yeah, it was three turnovers, but you could consider the turnover on downs, the missed field goal, two more turnovers, because you're just giving the offense the ball right back, and they turn those into points. The Raiders were not opportunistic, and after watching the game, I was like, man, that offensive line is rough in the run game. And then when I went back and watched it and slowed it down, Vinny, there was so many whiffed blocks and just missed assignments, and you talk about just poor execution. And when they did execute, Michael Mayer gets called for a holding. The very next play, Zamir White fumbles. So, you know, you talk about just things not going well. It went from bad to worse. And Vinny, I'm just curious, like, what did you see in the run blocking that just wasn't there? Were they just getting out-muscled?
Yeah, they were not winning their one-on-one battles consistently enough. And the problem with that, and there's a couple things that I want to get to based on what you just said. It wasn't like the Chargers were overselling to stop the run. They weren't. You know, they were just winning straight up, you know, battles and playing sound football, sound fundamental football, which conversely, on the other side of the football, I know you say no defensive slander, and I get it, and I understand it, and for the most part, I agree. But you also can't give up two runs of one of 60 yards and another of over 40 yards. And both of those, if you go back and watch the tape, there were some glaring, fundamentally unsound plays by the Raiders that caused that, and the touchdown run as well. So the Raiders have some things that they got to clean up defensively. I get it; they were out there a long time, but still, you can't give up 170 yards and
yeah, but
basically
quick,
100 yards.
Yeah, you know, but on that point, that 61 of those yards, you say 176 yards given up. One play was 61 yards. That was one bad run fit, and that is at the end of the game. As to your point, it was hot. That was as physical between the lines as I can recall with a Raiders game in terms of just how physical. I'm not giving them excuse. They still need to button that up. But
yes.
I am not hanging for a second this loss on the Raiders' defense.
I'm not. But they contributed to it. So again, we've talked about how this has to be a collective effort. This has to be a darn near perfect effort. And I don't mean like every pass needs to be completed, or every play has to be successful. You can't have those kind of breakdowns. They're not good enough to have those types of breakdowns. And you go back and look at the touchdown run and the other long run. There were some bad run fits that left gaping holes open that allowed, you know, the Chargers to exploit those. Now, going back to your other point, which was, you know, the run game and the lack of the run game, as I said, it felt like the Chargers were just winning straight up. They weren't doing anything to overly, you know, play the run. And so that allowed them to now play, you know, comfortably on the back end of their defense against the pass. And yes, no doubt, you know, when you look at the numbers, Gardner Minshew wasn't that bad. He completed 75% of his passes, for crying out loud. We've talked about the percentage that needs to be, above and beyond his 62% completion percentage as a career. And he certainly did that. And I'll give him credit, you know, for doing that. But there's a little bit of a caveat. I don't even remember. Maybe a couple of times where he challenged the Chargers downfield. It felt like everything was just underneath, you know, checkdowns, playing it safe.
Your feelings are correct. Mm-hmm. Your feelings are correct.
There's something to be said about that. I get it. But, you know, those numbers were a little bit distorted in my mind.
I was shocked when I saw the numbers, weren't you? When you saw the total total yardage and his completion I had to look back and be like, really? I was stunned.
But it was, and it agreed. But again, it was the product of kind of the choices that he was making, you know, with the football and where he went with it, and there is something to be said about that. I'm not saying that there isn't, but at the same time, it just played right into the Chargers' hands. They didn't give a squat, a hoot about anything downfield. They never challenged them downfield for them to even put the fear of that into the hearts of the Chargers. So you know, it was one of those, I don't know how what you equate it to, but you can inflate some numbers sometimes, you know, based on the type of throws that you're making. And sometimes statistics can be a little bit misleading, and I felt like they were misleading in terms of the game that he had. You know, and then on top of that, you know, were the turnovers. He also had an interception in that game. So just a bad day all around. Again, it was the Raiders understand. They've talked about it, and they've tried to prioritize, you know, the areas that are, as we've talked about, the non-negotiables for them. And they can't, they cannot leave those, you know, multiple of those boxes unchecked in a game. And that's exactly what they did on Sunday. And it was frustrating because, to me, the Chargers are an okay team. They're not a great team. And that was a game that the Raiders could have won. We've talked about the handful of plays, if that, that really cost them when you really put it all together. So this was a winnable game if they would have checked off a couple of those boxes. And it just drives home the point where this is not a perfect team. This is not a great team. This is a team that, you know, it's going to take a village to win football games, and it's going to take that collective effort. And somewhere along the line, you know, all of those collectives failed in some area, in some key area, or in some cases just didn't even show up. And that's just not a recipe for success for the Raiders.
We want to hear from you, 702-365-9200, both the phone and the text number. Let's go out to Louisville, Kentucky, 502 Raider D. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome, Vince.
Appreciate you.
I haven't had a chance to do that yet. I know you haven't been here running tight. Don't leave my man out, though, if y'all go party. You know, it's kind of been, I'm 53 since I was 8. And I've been playing and watching football my entire life. What you saw yesterday was simply this. Absolutely, at the end a couple of times as well, the defense lacked a little bit, but they were stellar. They were phenomenal throughout the game for the most part. You are going to – the special teams are good. The one spot, and I said before the season started, there was a reason why at the end – when we lost the offensive coordinator to Washington, that as we looked through this process, I mean, he was left. He was left for a reason. You know, a lot of the coordinators people really, really love got scooped up, and we had what we had left. You know, we try to do the best of what we can. I'm going to root for the guy just because he's the coach on my team. But we lack so much offensively, and the turnovers are not going to help. We just got to – all we can do is we have what we have to work with. It can only hopefully get better from here. Raider Nation for life. I love my squad, man, and that hurt yesterday. But you know, we have 16 more games to go. You gentlemen have a blessed day.
Raider D, appreciate you. Appreciate the welcome. That was very nice.
Yeah.
Still, all these weeks later,
yeah,
still getting
sending
nice
out flowers and chocolates and stuff. This is nice.
Okay. So again, I understand the 61-yard. Run when you're pinned after that 4th-and-1 punt, and then they give up that giant run. You're not going to convince me otherwise that the defense stumbled at all. If that defense plays any other game, and the offense puts up anything, it's a win. So to your point, Vinny, what we talked about, this has to be a collective. The defense can play amazing, and they could still lose. Now, that's exactly what happened yesterday, but it's not for the reasons we thought it was going to be. We all hung our hat saying, well, at minimum, at least we know that they're going to run the ball and continue to run the ball because that's their identity. And that was the difference in this game. And I think that's what's frustrating for Raider Nation. The buildup, the amp up was two teams establishing an identity. How are we going to do that? Be physical. We're going to wear down the other team. The Chargers stuck to it. In a close game, it was a 2-point game after 3 quarters. The Chargers stuck to it. The Raiders did not. And there's not a more shining example of that than by not going for it on fourth and one in that fourth quarter. The Raiders did not stick with their game plan. They did not wear them down hard enough, long enough to break through. And to me, that was the difference.
Right, which to me comes all down to execution. You know, I don't think they tried to deviate from their game plan. They just weren't executing that game plan. And you know, I'm sure Luke Getsy has some things that he wants to do a little bit differently, as does Antonio Pierce, as does that defense. And I'm not pointing any fingers at the defense. What I'm saying is, they can't afford to have the type of breakdowns that they had, and especially in those moments. You know, Antonio Pierce showed full confidence in his defense by punting the ball right there. I would have gone for it, but he decided to punt the ball, putting it into the hands of the defense. And the last thing you can afford right there is to give up a big long run, and that's exactly what happened. You can make all the excuses, all the explanations, some of them are valid, but the point of the matter is, when you have to play your best, and that's all that's required, that's what you have to deliver. It's a cold, hard world in professional sports and in the NFL, and at that moment, unfortunately for the Raiders, the defense was not up to the challenge for whatever reason you want to put on it. They just weren't up to the challenge. And so it was a really good game by the defense. But I think that even if you talk to those players and that coaching staff, it just wasn't good enough, because it just wasn't. They gave
up. I mean, I get that it wasn't good enough. They lost the game. But when you give up just two first downs in the entire first half, you hold Justin Herbert
to
67 yards passing in the first half, his second lowest of his career.
Right.
The defense was doing everything. And to your point, if Gardner Minshew does not lose that fumble, at minimum, let's not even say the Raiders score. They're punting once again, and A.J. Cole's pinning them inside the 20 late in that first half. And you still walk out of the first half 7-3.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so, you know, instead of 7-3 at minimum, it could have been 10-3, it could have been 14-3, but now it's 7-6, and your defense is like sitting there being like, what do I have to do?
You just said something that was interesting to me, and maybe it was, you know, a subliminal type of a thought, but you were already, you know, they were at what, the 49-yard line. They got into they were on the plus side of the field.
Correct.
All right.
Yeah.
And in your voice and with what you said, you were like, yeah, maybe they don't score a point. Like, there's that speaks to the confidence that everyone has right now of this offense.
I know
exactly what you were doing. I'm not disputing that.
Oh, got it.
But that seed was planted. You said you were like, hey, even yeah. Why? Because, come on, deep down, you probably did, especially after what you saw yesterday, how much confidence did you really have in the offense being able to score some points right there? You instead of saying, hey, go get a touchdown, go get a field goal, go up 10, you're on the other side of the field. You got three timeouts. There was, a minute 33 or something like that left. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a big thing, but it's somewhat significant how you just phrased all that, because you expressed a little bit of doubt that they were going to be able to do anything positive. Hey, even if you go 7-3, I get it. I understand what you're saying, but to me, there's an issue there that it speaks to that offense and how much confidence you can have in this offense to be able to get some points at the end, put together a credible 2-minute drill, put together some points to gain momentum, and you know, and you're going to get the ball to start the second half. It was just a little bit of doubt right there.
First of all, I think it was valid.
I think it was valid. I think it's absolutely valid. It's a valid concern. I mean, it's a valid concern. Now, normally, if you have a good quarterback, they're going to score some points right here. It's pretty obvious. You got a great field goal. You need 15 yards. Go get the 15 yards. Put it into Daniel Carlson's foot. Get the field goal. That would have been the worst. That's the worst case scenario.
No, but there definitely is doubt because of what we talked about. We don't know what Gardner Minshew was going to give us. And up to that point, it wasn't a lot. So that's why when I say at minimum, you're punting and playing that field position game, I know fans don't want to hear that. And that's not great, but that's the reality of what we saw yesterday. So
thank you.
When you're looking at, okay, how is this game going? Okay, it's 7-3. We have the ball near midfield. At minimum, don't mess it up. And Gardner Minshew did the one thing you couldn't do and give the ball away.
702-365-9200. Real quick, let's get to Eddie in L.A.
Eddie!
Eddie, from Louisville to Los Angeles, good morning to you.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you? What a tough loss yesterday.
It was a doozy.
The game hinged on the ability, or in this case, the inability of the offense to get things going on a consistent basis. I think that was the biggest fear for me coming into the season, was how the offense was going to look compared to last year. Now, last year, the first game of the season, they were able to muster up 16 points. Yesterday, only 10. That's not a very good sign. The in-game adjustments, I didn't see any. There was a lack of creativity in that. In the offense, I know it's just the first game, but when you're going into the half and the Chargers just took away the momentum from you. What, as a coaching staff, what was being talked about to the players? What kind of adjustments were you making? Because clearly the Chargers made adjustments, came out, and they were able to do things a little bit differently on the offense that kept them guessing and eventually broke that big run. A biggest thing with our defense has always been, okay, can we mitigate those big runs? We're great, you know, 1, 2, 3 quarters, and then a big run just overshadows the hard effort of the defense. That's always been the Achilles heel, in my opinion, Raiders defense in the last 20 years. But more or less, when AP just failed to go in it, you gave up on that offense. You gave up on giving it any type of momentum to build, not only for this game, but for next week. Now, I know the season's not lost with one game, but what are you telling your players on offense, okay? You're telling them, we don't trust you to gain 1 yard, one stinking yard. That is not winning football. They got in there, they got pushed around, they got smacked around, and then they lost the fight. Your teams out there are going to look at that and say, oh, we can get to this Raider defense. We just got to keep at it, and then they'll lose their head and lose composure. If AP had the players ready to play, they can't be losing their composure, because this is not the first game that we're going to play against teams that are going to test us, and they're going to get in our heads, they're going to push hard, especially when the Chiefs come around with all the stuff that's been going on in the offseason. I said this again, I'll always continue to say it ain't easy being a Raiders fan. Raider Nation, stay up.
Thank you, Eddie, in L.A. Hey, let's take a quick break. Vince, Vinny, and Clay, when we come back, more to come, because we're going to have Eric Allen will join us at the top of the next hour, our Monday morning cornerback. Stay with us here at Raider Nation Radio.
It is frustrating, but it's also encouraging. You know, like, I think we still have a lot of juice on offense. We have a lot of dudes, and once it clicks, it's going to click, you know. So I think we just got to keep pressing, keep moving forward. We'll be fine.
That is Vegas quarterback Gardner Minshew from the Raiders Radio Network. Interesting choice of words there. Frustrating, but encouraging. I'll be honest. And this is an honest show, I'd like to say, Clay. Encouraging is not a word I would use to describe what I saw offensively. Am I out of bounds with that?
Encouraging, not in the execution, but in the potential that you have weapons on this team. Yes, Gardner, I could see where that could be encouraging. Especially when you do have Davante Adams, who only got 5 targets. That's not a recipe for success.
And he missed him a few times. There was, I counted, when I went back and watched the game, I counted 4 plays. And they're probably more because it's Davante Adams, but mm-hmm. I counted 4 plays where he just flat out missed him, didn't see him, or was impatient in terms of the route that he just bailed and went to his next read. So, Vinny, what did you see when it came to, I mean, when Gardner says, you know, it's encouraging of the potential that's out there. I mean, yeah, there's potential everywhere, but that's a tough way to phrase it, no?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, and they have to think positively. So, you know, I get that, and I understand that. You just have to. You can't. It's game one. You can't just throw in the towel. And I think what they're basically saying is, like, look, if we just avoid the things that we did in terms of the turnovers, or do just a little bit better in some of the areas that we were lacking, good things can happen. And he's absolutely right. And I fully expect that to happen on occasion this year. But I always go back to this: how many. You know, how many times over the course of 17 games are they going to be on the positive sides of those non-negotiables? To me, that's what it comes down to, and you know, a lot of it does start with the quarterback play. Going back to Devontae and you know, his usage and just the offense in general, what I see in a Gardner Minshew is, you know we talked about the facilitator deal. I didn't see a whole lot of throwing it to guys with certainty and confidence in ways that they were going to be able to, you know, get it in stride and then go make plays. That's what the West Coast offense is all about. Didn't see a lot of that. Obviously didn't see him challenging, you know, downfield. He doesn't have, you know, the strongest arm in the world, so that's probably going to be an issue all season long. So I just, you know, I know one of the callers talked about Luke Getsy, and I get that, and I understand that he's got some work to do himself. But I feel like he was trying to grasp onto something. So what is going to be successful here? What can we count on here? And there really wasn't anything from an offensive standpoint that they did well enough consistently that you can say, okay, that's our go-to right there. That's something that we believe that we can, you know, go to at any moment and get us those necessary yards, whether it was in the run game or the passing game. It just felt like, you know, it was just grasping at straws a little bit, and that goes back to execution. There wasn't enough execution if I was the play caller, I wouldn't have been real confident in much of anything as that game wore on. What about you, Vince?
It felt like Bizarro World, that episode out of Seinfeld where up is down, left is right, and all that stuff, because I'm sitting there watching the game, looking at the stats, and the Raiders, I believe it was 7 passing first downs, 0 rushing first downs.
Right.
Like, it just made no sense. It made absolutely no sense. And when you look at it, and when I said earlier in the hour, you know, Gardner didn't have a terrible day. And I say that in, you know, with context of, like, we weren't expecting him to have, I think 256 yards was the number. That was a lot of yards. In my estimation, if you would have told me that, I'm like, that's a lot of yards on Friday, right? But the first play, the little motion, quick pass to Jacoby that gets 9 yards. Then you get stuffed on the next 2, and you have to punt on your opening offensive drive. You know, the fact that it took the third series to find Davante Adams or to get him the ball, to me, is inexcusable. And I talked about that last week. You have to get – I understand the drives didn't go anywhere, the first 2, but you got to get him the ball faster than the final 3 or 4 minutes of the first quarter. That's not scheme. That's not, you know, that's, you just have to do it. You just have to find a way to do that. And they didn't do it enough. They didn't do it enough with Brock Bowers early enough for my liking.
Overthrew him too.
Quite a bit, even though, you know, his rookie debut, you know, his stat line looks nice. It was disruptive, the offense. It was clunky. It was, you know, like a, you know, you're learning how to drive a stick shift for the first time. The car just, you know, a lot of stop and starts.
Right, and you didn't have a core piece of your offense intact, which is the running game. We talked about how important the running game was. Some of the success that Gardner had was after a decent run, a couple of decent runs, and now all of a sudden the play action pass is effective, and he completed a pass. You know, but even when they got started in some of those drives, the holding call on Michael Mayer, the turnovers, the negative plays, you know, were quickly followed. So there was never any continuity. You know, even in the small things that they did well on occasion, was not built upon. You didn't create any momentum. You didn't say, okay, now we're on a roll. Now we're in a rhythm. Let's continue this. It was always a couple good plays here, followed by some just complete, you know, clunkers of plays. There was no continuity or rhythm or flow to this offense yesterday whatsoever.
And the one flow they did have was at the end of the half, right before Gardner Minshew fumbled it away. We are going to continue to flow here on the Morning Tailgate. 702-365-9200. We want to hear from you. Sound off. Vegas, Raider Nation, Tailgaters, we need to hear it from you. Eric Allen, after this message.